Gethsemane, where Jesus accepted the cup of suffering, and so on. When he rose up, if you read that same account in Luke's Gospel, you read actually, he's kind of surrendered himself, and he said, "Okay, darkness, this is your hour. Okay, this is your hour." Now, in times of history, darkness is actually given an hour to do what it wants to do. And of course, darkness was given an hour by God. And so it spent that entire, when I say hour, not a time hour, but that hour of its time, it spent completely absorbed with beating Jesus and spitting upon him and stripping him naked and humiliating him. And he was beaten so much that he was unrecognizable. He said he was marred more than any other man. Marred. Now you can think of all the tortures that have gone on since the foundation of time. Jesus was marred more than any other man. And he was painfully crucified to a cross. That's what darkness decided to do in the short hour that it was given. When you read about the end times and the great tribulation, you'll find a similar period of time happens again. That's what the great tribulation is. Darkness is given an hour. Colin's absolutely right. The scriptures don't fit unless you get this right. Because the second part is the wrath of God. It's different. God doesn't send the wrath on his people. The wrath of God comes on those who have fought him. But darkness is given an hour, and they do make war on the saints. And if he makes war on the saints, you're here. Make no mistake about it. Those who think they're going to get raptured and don't see any of it, you can believe it if you like, but it doesn't fit with scripture at all. Certainly as I see it, I know Colin agrees with me, the 7 years, the great 7 years, the first 3.5 years of the great tribulation, such as has never been seen before, and the second 3.5 years of the wrath of God, it is quite evident and clear that we are here for the first 3.5 years. And it's evident and clear that we're not here for the second, because we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can't be having a marriage supper of the Lamb and down here with the wrath of God. But it clearly states that he makes war on the saints. It clearly states that unless those days were shortened, none would be saved. He says those who endure to the end will be saved. You can go on with scripture after scripture after scripture. The church is not ready. The church is not ready for that tribulation. Now, before the great tribulation, that 3.5 years, the first 3.5 of the seven, there is a growing tribulation which starts at the end of the age, which I believe has already started. And it begins with the destabilizing, the economy destabilizes. The one we've just had one, but this one will be a whopper. All the rich men will weep and howl because the whole thing is going to collapse. When? I don't know. It wouldn't be right for us to tell us, would it? But we know it's coming. The earthquakes will get more devastating and more frequent. The floods will be more devastating, more frequent. The character change of man will become more angry and bitter. And there will be murder and rape and anarchy, and the whole thing will go wrong. And there'll be persecution, there'll be tribulation. Do not fear. Satan will come and put many of you into jail to test you 10 days. Be faithful unto death. It's coming. It will grow into it. And eventually that 3.5 years will be the peak of horror. Darkness is given an hour. Don't underestimate what darkness will do when it's given an hour. Because the Bible says he knows his time is short. The good news is that in the midst of that, the manifest sons of God will be revealed in the midst of it. And as we've learned, when they are revealed, there will be no mixture in them. And as we have learned, they will deny self. And as we know, they'll be able to suffer and be willingly suffer. And they will count themselves it to be a privilege to suffer, because they know they're called and appointed for his name's sake. Well, I'm sure there's many things, but there's a final thing that God spoke to me specifically about these sons that will be different, and why they need to be different, and why they need to understand it. And it also touches on a false doctrine that's on the church, one of the endless, I might add. But generally people, they've seen God, and they've seen this, and they've seen that. Everyone's full of everything that they're going to see. The truth is, when we read Romans 8 here, it says, "For we are saved in this hope, I've missed out some of the scriptures. I forget the context in time. Romans 8:24. But we're saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Because why does one hope for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, patience. If you could see it, you wouldn't hope for it. We're saved with a hope. In other words, what God's trying to tell you is, you're not going to see it. You know what most Christians I see, they want to see things. They actually want to see, but actually you're not born into this existence to see. In fact, you're not going to see. Because if you see, it wouldn't be faith, would it? But we want evidence, we want proof. We ever want to see things. But a hope that we're saved in, if hope was seen, what if you can see it? Yeah, why do you hope for it? You don't hope for what you can see. You've already got that, you end up hoping for something else. So you hope for what you don't see. Now we're saved with a hope, so you're not going to see. You're not going to see what you think they're going to see, but that's the nature of man. He always wants to see. Now we can pick up this in Matthew 12. This is the sign of unbelief. You know, when they actually said to Jesus, Matthew 12, verse 38 onwards, we'll go on the story. But afterwards, it says, Lord, we want to see a sign from you. We want to see. I know you've heard this before, some of you, because it's a favourite story of mine, but it works so well in a meeting. Now, for this meeting, I actually said, you know, I was a judge on a new £100 note that was out. And, you know, I was one of the first people to get one. I had to see one or two people looking around. I knew it was in their minds, you see. And they're just waiting for the sign to come out, don't you? And then I said, well, there's been a murmuring going on. What is it if you like a £100 note? You know, what's in your mind? And someone, there's always one, and they say, I'd like to see it. Well, why do you want to see it, the truth? Because I don't believe you've got one. And he was right. You see, the need to see is hinged on unbelief. People say, oh, I want to go to, I look to see the miracle, it does my faith good. It doesn't at all. It's a lie, it's a deception, it's an error that's out there. To walk with God is a faith walk, it is not what you see. So when he said, oh, we want to see a sign, Jesus knew it's because they didn't believe. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be seen. You won't be seen. See, believing comes first. When he raised Lazarus and all shocked, he said, did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You see, believing, faith, all that comes first, the seeing later. But we still don't see God. And you know, there's a lot of people out there who profess to have seen him. You know, Philip was good in you read in John's Gospel, you know, to show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. You know, it's the same thing, isn't it? Show me the Father, he said, and that's sufficient for me, Jesus. You know, I'll accept all your words, everything else. Just show me the Father in heaven. That I'll, in other words, I want to see. Inside, Jesus knew he wanted to see because he didn't believe. He said, not the answer he wanted. Have you been with me so long, Philip? If you understand, he who has seen me has seen the Father, because the Father's in me and I'm in him. So if you've seen me, you've already seen the Father. That was a disappointment, because he was wangling. He really wanted to see something, because he didn't believe that the Father was him and he was in the Father. So you see where I'm coming from. Now God's people, they're wanting to see things before they do anything. Well, when I see at the end of it, when I see the fire point, when I see the church, then I'll get on my knees and I'll get right with you'll be too late. By faith, you've got to understand. You've got to do something now before you see it. Because when you see it, you won't be ready. You won't be ready if you wait to see. There's too much in the another false doctrine that we go today about seeing. When we've got the scriptures, you know, we can see God in us, can't we? When we look at one another, we can sort of grasp, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, back in there, we said we see through a mirror dimly, you know, like a pale reflection. But then when we then we'll see face to face. But now, see, God has hidden the sight, he's hidden the seeing, because what we do is this dim reflection, we can sense God in the spirit. But we do not see him with our eyes. Now, I've had some people really attack me and challenging me on this. And I said, well, that's what it says. You see, we do sense God in the spirit because we're spiritual beings. We do not see him with our eyes. It says we see, you know, that day will come and then we'll see him face to face. Now, in Timothy, just to get it clear, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's on about them keeping blameless and spotless in his letter to Timothy. And, you know, he's saying about the Lord, the potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Just in case you've got a problem with this. Why can you not see him? Because he dwells in unapproachable light. If you decided now to see him and God granted it, a door would open and you would see such an intense, unapproachable light, you would be blinded by it. And you would fall on your face. Because God dwells in unapproachable light, and no man has seen him, nor will they see him. Don't expect to see him. You will not see him. By the time you see him, it's going to be too late. No man has seen him, nor can they see him. 1 John chapter 4. I give you these scriptures that say the same thing, just so that you know. You've just not got the odd one. In verse 12 of 1 John chapter 4, no one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. So those who say they've had a glass dimly, they've had an aura, they've had a perception of something, but they have not. No man has seen God at any time because he dwells in unapproachable light. Now then, we're going to understand something, aren't we? That actually, to see God is something that is not afforded to man. And to operate by the things of sight is something that you're not going to get. So when you come to a conclusion that you're not going to see God, and then you begin to understand the teachings of God, that actually those who want to see, those who live by seeing, and those who desire to see, it's actually a sign of unbelief and no sign will be given to it. Then we've got to realise we have to go a different way with relationship, and we begin to understand that we're not going to see. And it's a faith walk. So if you're looking for evidence, forget it if it's evidence of sight. Because God's not interested in sight, he's interested in your heart. And you read 11 here, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Do you know what's going to be peculiar about the manifest sons of God? They won't need to see because they know. They won't need to see because they know. Because they will have faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why do we hope we don't see? We don't, you stop hoping then. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. You then got a catalogue of all the people who have incredible faith. When Noah built his ark, over 100 years he preached the gospel and never saw one person saved. For 100 years he made known the right way of God and never saw one convert. That's tenacity, isn't it? He didn't see a thing. And it was on top of a mountain in a desert, so it barely rained. Never saw any rain either. That's faith. That's faith. He saw nothing to substantiate what he believed in his heart. He saw absolutely nothing for 100 years. So where does faith come from? It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, doesn't it? The just will live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what's peculiar about the people of God. They walk by faith, they don't walk by sight. Why do all these people go running off to so-and-so's ministry and so-and-so? They're looking to see one miracle and they want to see this and they want to see that. They don't know that in their hearts they're full of unbelief. And all these big speakers, little stooges that follow them everywhere, trying to see some sign and wonder. When you get into most of them, a lot of it's lies, a lot of it's a cover-up, or it happens just before you get there, or just after you've left, you know, you're never quite there. The greatest miracle is where someone grows 3 heads, or a plastic leg comes off, or whatever. It's always just before you got there, or just after you left. You know, sister?
Only in America.
Only in America. Yep. You know and I know, and we've seen the glory and the might of God. And that is not in question here whatsoever. And I've seen God do extraordinary things, as many of you know. And it's thrilling to see it. But we don't see God and that has got nothing to do with our faith. Faith, what? We walk by faith and not by sight. And to see things, and certainly to see God, I'm afraid it's not part of the package. So you can ignore all those things you hear. The good news is that although a man cannot see God, there is something that is given him. You can hear. You cannot see God, and the people of God will not see God. And you will not see as much of God as you think you will. But there's a wonderful gift that the people of God have. They can hear him. That's wonderful, isn't it? And you can go from the beginning, you don't have to take my word for it, and God spoke unto Moses, and God spoke unto Abraham, and God spoke unto Noah, and God spoke unto the prophets, and God spoke. You know, yes, here I am, Lord, use me. You know, the whole thing is there. You can see in the scripture irrefutable evidence that God speaks to man. Now Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. So faith does not come by seeing, that is a lie. And if you go to meeting to see all these other things, it will not give you one iota of faith whatsoever. Not because I say so, because the word of God says so. That seeing means nothing. Why is God want to emphasize this? Because at the end of the age they'll be full of lying signs and wonders. And they are a lie, most of them. And you're going to hear all sorts of things. Whether people got a mouth full of gold teeth and you can name it. I don't care what you hear. You will see the lot. You can ignore it. Because the Bible says that you always want to go and see some new thing. There'll be lying signs and wonders. And those who are led by sight at the end of the age will follow them. And they'll be drawn away by lying signs and wonders because they're walking by sight. Those who have walked by faith will say, that is not of me. Turn away. Walk the other way. You see, to hear God is important, isn't it? And more important at the end of the age, when you see all these devastations, if you cannot hear God, you are going to be in trouble. Now, I know the Lord spoke to me and said, my people are not hearing me. And when I send someone who does hear me, they usually throw them out and reject them, just as they've always done. But there's got to be a time in history when the scriptures are fulfilled. And the end of the age is that time. Where the people of God will begin to hear God. These are the manifest sons of God. Because they will be led by the Spirit. How can they be led by the Spirit if they can't hear? They will be led by the Spirit. These are the manifest sons of God. They'll be able to hear God. So not only will a manifest son of God, not only will he take the cup of suffering, and not only will he get the mixture out of his life, not only will he have a walk that's right before God and not full of self, he will be able to hear the Lord. He will be able to hear the Lord. And that's a great privilege, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. If you can't hear God, you won't have faith. And if you're saved by faith, what's going to happen to you? If you have no faith. That faith's going to be tested in society soon. If you can't hear the Lord, if you don't hear the Lord, you can't have faith. If you're saved by faith, you're in trouble, aren't you? You see, it's getting more serious now, isn't it? Whether you consider it a privilege or bad luck, it's up to you. But to be in the end of the age, you're going to see things that others haven't seen before. And it's going to be horrible. But God's going to equip you, if you hear him, to walk right through the midst of it. You know, all these psalms that have been written and verse, you know, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. You'll see that, all right. But no plague will come near you. All these are promises. This is for the man. This is going to happen. It has to happen to us. There'll be a generation. There will be a people. You call some people, call them the overcomers, the manifest sons of God. You can call them what you like. But at the end of the age, every scripture has got to be fulfilled before the Lord returns. And quite an extraordinary manifestation of the sons of God is one of them. And it's coming. And they will be peculiar because they'll not walk by sight. They will actually walk by faith. John 10:27 you know, this is what this is yet to be fulfilled. I believe that Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I actually think in truth that when he says my sheep hear my voice and they will follow me, correct me if you think I'm wrong, generally speaking, throughout the body of Christ, in my experience, very few people go through the Christian life and generally say they have been a man or a woman that has walked hearing God. They can remember times when they've heard God, and moments in their Christian life when they've heard God, but to walk hearing God is a different thing. And to know his voice. And they said, and they follow me. They follow me. Well, actually, we don't follow him, we go our own way because of the self, the thing we said before. Because we've not been put to death, we do what we want rather than doing what's right. We do the self thing, we don't do the God thing. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So something has to happen, doesn't it? Something has to happen to the body of Christ. This is the age where the manifest sons of God are going to rise up and they will be able to hear the Lord. Now, why hearing, not sight? This may be no dynamic teaching, maybe not what we expected today, you know, but what God is trying to do is get you ready for a day that's coming. What happens, figurative scenario, a nuclear bomb gets dropped in London, so half this nation gets waked out, the other half gets starts to grow three arms and glow in the dark, or whatever you do with a nuclear bomb drops on you, you know. There's floods and pestilences, half your family die, you know, all of a sudden it's, you know, if you start to walk by sight, the day will come at this time of tribulation where everything you see will be devastation. Everything you see will be pain and suffering. Everything you see will be hurt. And when you hear the word, oh, there is no God, God's dead, you know, something must have happened. Every evil's crept out of the base of things like hell's door's been opened loose and everything's sweeping across the world. It's all over. Good is lost. That will be what the preaching will be at the end of the time, I'm telling you. And when you look around, you will see no evidence of God. Darkness is given an hour. Darkness will be given an hour. And everything you see, you'll think hell's just opened its doors and it's just gone through society and there can't possibly be a God anymore. And if you walk by sight, that will be the state of your mind and your understanding. But in the midst of that, there will be a people who can hear. Even though the floods are there, they will not overflow you. Even though you're in the fire, you will not be burned. For I, the Lord, and God, I am with you. And I am the Lord God, despite your afflictions, I will deliver you out of them all. And if you can't hear that, you'll be a man and woman without hope. Without hope. Hope is something that is not seen. What you see and feel around you will be different. And if you cannot hear the Lord, you will be in trouble. I urge you, God is giving you sufficient notice. It's not happening tomorrow. We have got time to get ourselves on that cross, put to death, handed over, denied ourselves, following him, learning to hear, get rid of self, get rid of the mixture, accept the cup of suffering, because on that day you'll be changed and established and strong and able. And believe me, a lot of your neighbours and a lot of your friends and all of those who rejected you in the past will see in you a hope, and they will come to you with tears and they will ask you to give an explanation for the reason of the hope that is in you. Because when you see the world, anyone who can have a hope and a smile on the face and a resilience and a joy in the midst of that will be one extraordinary person. That will be a manifest son of God who can hear God and is able to ignore everything he sees, because what he hears will be different to what he sees, and he believes what he hears more than what he sees. That's a rare man. That was Paul. Paul had to believe he was worshipping a God that loved him while he was being beaten with rods. He had to believe that he had a God that was with him in everything while he was being whipped and stoned. When he was in a night freezing cold in the water of a shipwreck, a day and a night in the deep, he still had to believe, I am with you, I will not forsake you, I will deliver you, I will be with you, you are my son. People had to believe when they're thrown in the furnace, they're not in their own, but God is with them. You could not have gone through that if you could not hear God. what was the man saying? The sufferings of this present world do not compare to the glory that will be revealed in us, because he knew. What's wonderful? There will come a time when people's appetite for seeing will happen. Because in the midst of that, when you think it can't get any worse, and the Antichrist sits upon his own throne and rebels against God and brings devastation but unbelief, and you think, surely, God said, if those days weren't short, no flesh would be saved, then you will see him. Because the Bible says that the sky will split from east to west, and the Son of Man will stand there, and every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. Then it'll be too late. Mm. And all those who've been wanting to see will see all right. Mm. But a small few will have bowed the knee well before. A handful of manifest sons of God will have walked through that time hearing God. And I know that if this wasn't a generation, God would not be giving us this word. And you know, when I say I was compelled to speak today, I had a real sense of, from the Lord, woe unto you if you don't speak it. And you know, where the odd little bits of groups and meetings that I've been to, and I share odd things, and there's not many of them because not many want to hear it, quite frankly. But one of the things that I've said to Colin each time has been, and so now we've been in Germany, and you know, I've been to Belgium, and I see these little groups, God's getting little groups like this all over the world. God's beginning the work, he's doing it, man's not building it. How can man build it? Jesus said, it's my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. There's only one church, and he's building it, and it doesn't have any other name. It's not called St. Matthew, St. Cuthbert, or whatever. It's Christ's church. There's only one name. It's got another name. It's not his. There's one church, one faith, one baptism, one name, and one Lord. One. He's building it. And we're all little stones that's being fitted together. He's giving you time. One of the things I've said to Colin, and we've noticed this, when we go to meetings, and I'll say it again today, just have a look round and see the average age in this meeting. That tells me, no disrespect. Not a long way off, is it? I don't think we're talking 50, 60 years, are we? If truth be known. Because this word is coming to this generation to get itself ready and to hand over that life. Because God is wanting to raise up his church to stand and shine at the last hour. Whether you think that's misfortune or fortune to be born in this age, what I would say to you is this: we're called. And if we're called, he's called you and he's predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. And now's the time we've got to hand the life over, isn't it? Now's the time to just get it sorted. Be a manifest Son of God. It's his work, others. We can't do it. I don't want to try harder. If trying harder was doing it, I'd have done it years ago. Actually, we can't do it. It's his work. But we have to yield. You know, the harder tried, the harder it seems. And you know, it's not about trying, it's about surrendering. It's about yielding. It's about letting go and letting God. Man cannot do something to make him more like God. How can you start from there and go upwards? Only God can reach down and raise you to his level. And suffering is the way that he'll do it. Because he'll burn out the mixture. And he'll burn out the self. And when that happens, he'll start to speak to you. Do you know, you get to the stage where you say, oh, I don't need to see. Because I know. And then you'll have faith. Amen. Thank you very much to all. For inviting me. For those who say, listen to you for a full day, suffering enough, that's part of the first.
So bless you. Before we finish, Lynn's got a word that she had earlier. Do you want to just share it, Lynn?
Yeah. In relation to what David's been sharing with us all, and it's to do with us being silent, and it's from Esther, and it's Esther 4, and I'll read from 12. When Esther's word was reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?
The time keeps happening.
Carol brought a word to us in our meeting just last week, or the week before, and have you got it, Carol?
For as the autumn leaves bring forth their colour, and fold the earth and die, they herald the winter when the landscape changes, and bring forth the beauty of its own. And it appears that there is no life, for deep in the earth things are stirring, and in the spring new life is brought forth. As this new life grows, the summer arrives, and colour and beauty is all around, and the fullness of the sun is felt on the earth. These are the seasons that I have put in place. This is my order. So I have set seasons for my church, my body. Soon there will come a time, a season, when the fullness of the sun will be felt upon the earth. Beauty will abound and will shine from my church to reflect the beauty of the sun. So dazzling and wondrous will this be, that all will be astounded. So when winter comes and no life or movement appears to be happening, remember, there is coming a stirring up of new life and a bringing forth of new beginnings to mark the time of the fullness and beauty of the sun. So prepare, my church, my people. Array yourselves in garments of praise. Release the perfume of your incense. Break forth in righteousness and holiness, and let the church, the body of Christ, arise and fulfill all that I have planned for her. The bride is awaiting the bridegroom.
Jesus spoke about the end of the age and the harvest at the end of the age. And it's a time, it says in Matthew 13, where the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness are taken out from amongst the wheat. The tares have been taken out from amongst the wheat. And then the righteous will shine forth in the Son of the Kingdom of their Father. He who is here, let him hear. This is the manifest sons of God. This is the time that's coming. This has never been before, and never will. The end of the age, when the church becomes this beautiful bride. And this is the most wonderful future that we've got. And the Lord's speaking to us today about it. David says we have no idea just when this is going to be, but it's coming. Do you want to say something?
Just following on from that, Carol's word, your own word, it was given to me today. Song of Solomon 2, verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green fruit, and the vine with tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away."
Let's thank the Lord, shall we, in just close with prayer, and we can, as I say, we can continue to fellowship. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have deemed to speak to us, Lord, today. And you always ask, Lord, that those who have ears to hear, hear. And Lord, we just ask for those hearing ears, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to get it all in one go, Lord, but we can spend time with you, and you going to bring this back to us and speak to us afresh and again. Speak to us by your word, Lord. And we just pray you'll do that for each one of us. We just thank you for David, Lord, and his faithfulness, Lord, in bringing forth a word, Lord, at a time, Lord, before it happens, Lord. It has to be done by faith. It has to be done by a knowing, Lord. And it's a walk you're calling us all to, Lord. This faith walk, Lord. And we ask that you would to bring us into it. Teach us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you are a teacher and you will go with us from today and continue to teach us. Show us from your word, Lord. May we not be frightened to ask you questions that you can answer them, because you want to tell us and tell us more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
John, Chris, one thing's come to mind. I just ask you, how many people here at the moment are sensing that something devastating is on the way? How many of you are sensing when you just got to turn the news on? You're kind of doing it like that because you know something somewhere. Yeah, you sense it?
Yeah.
Well, just those that know, it's coming. I don't know what it is. You know, whether it's one of these running tectonic plate things that sends 300 foot waves across the, you know, we keep hearing all these things. I don't know what it is, but one of the things I do know is out of all these earthquakes and troubles and floods, even though it's already affecting millions, something's going to hit us. Now, one of them, when this happens, I don't know, but there's something on the way, and all I say to you is this: when it happens, the world that you and I know it will be forever changed.
I had an interesting thing happen to me a few months back. I was out back working in the workshop, and I was going into the house to make a stop for coffee or something, but I looked up in the sky and I seen what looked like an aeroplane. It was burning red, like a red ball, but it wasn't, it was massive, and I stood looking at it and I thought, what is that? But I knew it wasn't an aeroplane, but it looked like, it was too big to be a meteorite, it was so big. And I stood staring at it and I said, what is that there thing that, you know, it's amazing. So on, then I went on, I looked at the news to see what was on the news. There was nothing on the news about it, there was nothing on the internet about it, but I had definitely seen it, and it was scary, so it was. It looked like a flaming torch going through the sky. But I didn't see anything on the news about it. I was asking people about it, was there a fireball in the sky tonight, but nobody had seen anything about it.
I'll try and find something. I've actually down this is books down there, especially to me, and I keep most of it to myself, quite frankly, for reasons that become obvious. But you know, one of the things that I'll find is a route through. It just gives you kind of a picture. I'm sure you're on. These things have been coming for quite a while.
David gets, often the Lord will give him a word and he'll write it down. Sometimes he shares it, mostly he doesn't. There's a 93 prophecy there you can take.
Yeah.
David.
Well, this is in 2004, you know, God saying, what was kicking this into me? You know, God hears all the cries, all these little children being abused, all the people being raped and in war, people being killed, and you know, God says, no longer can I ignore these cries. No longer can I watch this suffering. All these things will be brought to an end. Suffering will peak and tears will be full, and then the end will come and my time will be. The day of no more tears and no more suffering. It will be a new day. Everlasting peace will rise up like the bright and shining dawn and will shine upon us forever. And these are kind of the things, many of them that have come to me over the years that have prompted I'm trying to think of one in particular. That was too long to read. Too horrific. I will find it. Because you know, you can't help but see and know these things in your heart.
The only reason I mentioned the 93 one is it mentions cosmic storms. We're going to see things we haven't seen before. Hallelujah.
Can I just say something? Right at the beginning, when we first started this morning, and the Lord quickened to me a scripture, and I wasn't able to find it. It's in Matthew 24 or Luke, you know, about the end times, and it's where Jesus said, when you see, and these things have happened, when you see all these all these things taken together come into pass. There's an intensifying, and that's what we've been hearing today. The intensifying. These things have been manifest in the past. The sons of God have been manifest in the past. Great men of God. But there's something cataclysmic that's going to happen where it's all together at one time. It's, as David said, intensifying. And so just to throw a King James version on Lynn's scripture to really bring it into context, what the James version says about that, where Mordecai is saying to Esther, perhaps you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's always been a potent scripture to me about, you know, the calling of God. And it's not just anywhere else. We are called to the kingdom. We have the privilege of living in this day. I do. In my heart, I felt a privilege that this is the time. The things that we have seen in our lifetime, the restoration of Israel is a big time. Many, many, many other wonderful things. We are privileged to see them, but there's responsibility with privilege, isn't
there? Yes.
Yeah. You've got a place for that.
While we're here, Pete's son Nate is going to Bible college tonight. Big thing for us in our little group here, and I don't think Nate's going to be very happy with it. But we'd like to pray with you, Nate, before you go. He goes tonight. He's away at Bible college for 6 months.
He goes in 10 minutes.
He goes in 10 minutes. Well, let's just pray for you all of us, isn't it? He's a very precious brother to us. He's our mate, and.
Everybody locks up to
Father, we just pray for this young man, and Lord, one thing to know for sure, that he's going to be faced with much of the mixture. Pray for granting, Lord, a discerning heart to know that which is of you and to cast aside that which is not. And Lord, for sure there'll be a cost in that, but we just pray that he'll take that truck, Lord, and walk in truth and walk in right.
Amen.
And be strong and very courageous.
This is just one. It's picking out from, and it was only a short one because they some of the long. Sometimes, you know, when I can't sleep at night, I sit and you wait on the Lord and you just get things, don't you? I just tend to write them down now, and I've got books like this. But one of the things I can tell you is over the 30 odd years of walking with God, I see them work out. It's kind of knows, I see them fulfilled, you see them working out. You get to the stage of beyond doubting, don't you? I saw a vision and heard the cries. Women crying over their babies, children dying in poverty, the poor crying out, many being killed in war, millions mourning, the pain of rape and torture, injustice, all causing people to cry out in pain and suffering. Men crying out because of the pain of their unfaithful wives. Women crying out because of their unfaithful men. The cries and tears of suffering ascending to heaven as a deafening shout of pain and suffering. The voice of God that booms out, this is the day where I hear the cry of the poor and repay the injustice. This is the hour of my judgment. Weep, you rich, those who oppress men. I saw a skyline silhouetted with fire, flames, screaming and suffering, panic and confusion, terrible catastrophes and tragedies coming upon the earth. Many families suffering the pain of lost loved ones. We will need to endure this to be saved. My heart is heavy and sad, for I know and I can see what is coming on the earth. You know, I have many such things like this that, you know, we just see that leave me in tears and awake at night. And some have, there's only one thing sadder than that. That's to know that there could be a people of God who go into that time unprepared, listening to all the rubbish that's out there, and not know that this is the day we need to hear the Lord, and the day the manifest sons of God need to rise up.
And we've got one more thing I want to do. Jen wasn't with us last year, and I'm going to cry if I'm not careful. And Jen had a hole in her heart from being born and she didn't know about. And the air that got into her, her bloodstream, and she had a stroke last year. So she was in hospital when David came up last time. So she's here with us, and we went to see Jen in the hospital, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, this is not unto death.
Hallelujah.
Within the 24 hours, she's in intensive care. And the hospital couldn't believe that she came out of that. But what did you pray with, did you?
Go on, Jen. Go on, Jen.
Jen hasn't got a full speech back, but her understanding is super. And she loves like she's never loved before.
Praise the Lord. Father, we just pray the work that you've begun.
Yeah.
Lord, we know the same God that started this work. You are the God that will finish
Thank you, Lord.
It and complete it, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And just pray, Lord, as always. We go into the furnace bound, but we come out
Amen.
Clean.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's right, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
to God. Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jen. We're going to cry lots of tears, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
The church is going to be one of great love.
Yeah.
We're going to have compassionate hearts. That those that the world doesn't love, you know, we're going to find that we're called upon to love them. The church is going to see people come into the church that the world doesn't want. You know, the Lord says, go into the highways and byways. It's going to be a wonderful time. I hope that you've been encouraged by today.
Yeah.
Because it's then this tough time. Hallelujah. We're winning, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
The battle
Amen.
Is won.
Yeah.
Jesus has already actually won the war. And he's going to manifest his,
yeah.
his victory to his church and we're
yeah.
his church.
Yeah. And I want to say thank you as well to everybody. For those, I've been told today twice that people have prayed every day since last year for Jenny. And that's something if you're here, it's something if you're not here in another place. And that, thank you to all those from Ireland and everywhere else who've prayed for Jen. And you stood by me, and a scripture comes to my mind and heart. As Colin speaking there, where Jesus shared something incredibly deep. We've heard what David said earlier on about could you not watch with me? And yet, on the other hand, Jesus said to them, ye are they which have stood with me in my hour.
Mm.
You know, and thank you for standing with us in this year. It's been horrendous for us, David, as well. And people stood with us, and I want to say thank you to God's people for that.
Right.
Amen.
We've got to bear one another's burden
yeah.
and fulfill the Lord of Christ.
Yeah.
We've got to be knitted together in love, and you know, because when it heats up out there, and it's on the way, I tell you, you know, it's just some joy when you can come together and just love one another and support one another because you're going to need it, you know. We do need
Yes, Sandy.
I think most of you know my testimony is that Jesus touched me and released me from losing and gave me peace between my ears. That didn't stop the physical, and then he got me out of the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Since he got me out of the wheelchair, he has given me a similar message to you, David. From Revelation 7:9 is what he told me to do. He said he wants the people to be ready like Stephen was when he was stoned. He wants us to have such joy in our heart that when all this happens that David's telling us about, then we will still have that joy in our heart, and it won't matter what it is that's going on out there. This summer has been horrendous for me. My mother, who had dementia and Alzheimer's disease, is in 24/7 care. She fell and broke her left arm, which is the arm that she used. My daughter and I went down. My daughter couldn't stay, but I stayed because the hospital hadn't got the staff to feed her. My mother has given me a hard time for the 70 years of my life, because I've been telling her that Jesus loves her and he doesn't want her to live in the deception that she was in. It was hard for me to be there, to love her, to feed her, to read scripture to her, and have her going put, 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 because that was all she could do. 1 week before she died, I praised God that she opened her heart to me, and I know that she's gone to be with the Lord. And I want to thank all those people that were praying for me and prayed us through, because I really thought that my mother was going to be lost, because there was no answer to what it was that had deceived her. I'm still not sure about what it was that deceived her, but all I know is that she let it go and let Jesus have the way in her life.
Amen. Sunday comes from Barrow, and there's a small group that she teaches. I've seen her, some of her teaching that she gets in, I've given her some good stuff.
Amen.
And
yeah.
I love blessing her.
Yeah. 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 And then for the family, for their support, it's been amazing. And Jenny and John and all of you. Thank you all.
I love you. I think that's it. So thank you very much for coming. Again, you're very welcome. 7:30 is our house. If you're still here and you want a bit more, and just to share with the saints, and we maybe have a cake or two.
That's
great.
Thanks,
John. Thanks, John and Jenny, for the hospitality.
Amen. Thank you, John.